why not? Okay, so I'll address that right now. The question is, some stringencies seem so easy, why not do them? So I'll explain it with an allegory. Imagine you're sitting in this classroom, and the guy behind you is tapping his pencil on the table. You could stand there, right? You're not gonna get up and yell, no problem. Now imagine he's tapping his pencil on the table, and a mosquito comes and starts buzzing next to your ear. Now you hear the pencil, and the mosquito, you can handle that, no problem, right? Now, a bee comes and starts buzzing next to your other ear. And then, the guy in front of you, he starts tapping on the table. You can imagine that when he starts tapping on the table, you're going to explode, right?
It's a bad idea.
And he looks at you and says, Yosef, what did I do? And you're like, what's wrong with you? You're tapping on the table, right? Okay. In life, little things that seem like nothing add up. It's like the tapping on the table. Person says, I'm eating kosher. Someone comes and says to him, you know, Chav Yisrael isn't a big deal. They have all these chocolate bars, Chav Yisrael. Why don't you eat Chav Yisrael? So now, every time a person comes to buy a chocolate bar, he looks at the one he likes. And then he says, yeah, but this one's also Chav Yisrael. Small thing, right? But it adds up. Next. Person says to him, why are you eating gelatin? You know, it's kosher gelatin. But what's the big deal? There are candy bars without gelatin. Okay. B number one. B number two. Then he says, why do I have to eat Rabbanut? There's Rabbanut Mehadrin. You know, this restaurant, that restaurant. It builds up. And instead of a person having strength for the important things, like not eating bugs in his food, the important things, like getting Shabbos in before sunset, the important things, like having a kosher razor, he's going to be focused on all these little things that are not important when you look at the big picture. And you could say, what's the big deal? The big deal is that when we make a change in life, and now I'm eating kosher, and I'm not going to buy the candy bar without a hechsher, that's big enough. Don't take more than that. Because it builds up. It adds up. You know, each little thing, they all add up. And that's why I say, clean yourself of stringencies. Clean. No stringencies. Leave it. Stick to the basics. How many guys have left Machon Meir and kept Torah and Mitzvot? We have a tremendous percentage. Go ask the guys who don't why they didn't. Go, interview. You know some of them, just like I know some of them. Ask them why not. Ask the people who don't daven even once a day why. 15 years ago, got a phone call. There was a wrestler, professional wrestler, who knew he was Jewish. And he was a wrestler in like high school or college. And he wanted to learn how to put on tefillin. So I went to a Hasidish friend of mine, Rabbi Moskowitz. And I asked him, you know, Sunday, I'm supposed to teach a guy to put on tefillin. What do I tell him? So he said to me, you tell him, the guy lived in an area where there was no shul, no community, nothing. He said, you tell him, you put on tefillin in the morning or sometime during the day and say Shema Yisrael. You could say Shema Yisrael, teach him the first paragraph of Shema. If that's too hard, teach him just the first pasuk of Shema. Tell him he puts on his tefillin, says the first pasuk of Shema and takes it off. When he'll want to do more, there's more to do. Today, the guy's one of the top guys in Mir. I don't think that if I would have told him about the halachos of keeping a clean body when you wear tefillin and saying all of Shema, or at least the first two paragraphs of Shema when you wear tefillin, that he would have evolved. I don't think so. I think he wanted to connect to Judaism, so he got something that was easy. He could do it. He could do it, he came back for more when he was ready for it. When a person grows gradually in accordance with the level that he can handle, so then he keeps growing. When a person grabs things that are too much, he stops growing. And when you think that small stringencies are nothing, you're mistaken. They're all something. They're all something. And I'll tell you, it's not only something I tell you, it's something I tell myself too. 10 years ago, I was in a yeshiva, and if you don't mind, I'd rather you leave it open. Thank you. I was in a yeshiva and someone noticed that I'm a Yeki. I come from Germanic descent. I wait 3 hours between meat and milk. So the person was very learned and he said to me, in Halacha there are two sources, either 1 hour or 6 hours. No source for 3 hours. He said, you could do either or, but you can't do three. I said, thank you so much. I'm going to keep one. What do I have to keep six for? If one has a good basis and six has a good basis, when I'm keeping three, I'm also keeping one. I said it to him to get him off my back. I thought it was none of his business. And I figured, you know, if one has a basis, and when I'm doing three, I'm also doing one, so leave me alone. And later on, I spoke to Rabbi Feinstein about it, and he said, tell the guy to go fly a kite. Three has a basis. You have a whole community that's keeping three. You can't tell the whole community they have no basis. There's a community that, okay, we'll discuss a different time about the strength of the Ashkenazi minagim. But that doesn't matter. I thought the correct approach would be, gee, if I have two options, why should I go the more stringent one? Why? When I'll be Yirei Shamayim, I'll work on it. Then I'll take it. A person has to gauge. When is he doing a chumrah because he's happy with it? When is he doing it to feel religious? Sometimes we do it so I could feel like, oh, I'm religious. My tzitzis are out. I'm religious. I wear these big tzitzis with black stripes. Everyone can see. That's not real growth. I didn't mean to mock you. God forbid. I meant, seriously, a person has to gauge his growth. And when a person has two options, especially when he's in the tshuva process, and even not, I would always opt with the stipler's advice. Stay away from stringencies. Wait. You have all of life to grow. If this year you took on one stringency, it's probably one too many. But for sure, don't take on a second. And next year, think 10 times whether you should take on another one. And maybe you should be mevatel the first one. You with me? No one likes to hear it, but it's proven itself. And I'll tell you what. I'll tell you the same thing I told the kid who called me up 7, 9 years ago. The guy called me up, said, I've been learning. He was in, I don't remember if elementary school or high school, I think elementary school, 7th or 8th grade, said, I'm learning, I learn all the time, and I want to learn during the break, and my parents won't let me. I want to learn during recess. When I come home, I go to learn, and during recess, I want to learn, and my parents won't let me. So he said, could you talk to my parents about letting me learn during recess? I said, no. So he said, why? It's a mitzvah to learn. Shouldn't I do more than that? More of that if I could? I said, no. So he said, but it's a mitzvah. I said, right. Tell me, how focused are you when you learn the other times? He didn't answer. I said, are you learning because you think it's a mitzvah, so you're putting your head in front of the book? How much time are you focused? How much real learning are you doing? First, show me that you're focused the other time, and go have a good time during recess. And then we'll think about whether it makes sense to add time. But right now, I'm with your parents. I'm not with you. The guy didn't listen to me. He ended up in a psychiatric hospital. True story.
Is he naked in the street?
Nope. True story.
Normal
guys. True story. But when people try to jump too high, too fast, and they're not realistic, and they're not happy with it, and they're not whole with it, it explodes. We're not built for that, and the Torah is not about that. Keep mitzvot. Who's saying not to keep mitzvot?
Oh, we're talking about the gradual taking of mitzvot. Even in the mitzvot, on the basic mitzvot observance. It includes so much, right?
So we said that one of the weaknesses in a Baal Teshuva Yeshiva is that the guys pressure one another, and it's wrong. It's a weakness, not a strength. You could learn from one another. You shouldn't pressure one another. Everyone has to grow at their pace. It doesn't work. That doesn't work any other way. Zev, I know you want to say something to him, the guy in the middle. I don't know your name, but it's not fair to skip him. What?
Reuven Grossman.
Baruch Haba.
One question. What if a person, especially in the yeshiva environment, feels, maybe a person with a perfectionist character trait, who wants to do the best and the maximum and never miss out on anything that he could accomplish, what if he feels incomplete, dissolved in his trait? I'm one of those guys. I feel... if I'm not doing the maximum, I'm lacking.
Oh, so so that's why I gave the example of the elementary school kid, the kid in 7th or 8th grade. I'm not saying not to perfect. I'm saying perfect the real things. I had a friend who owned a pizza shop. And everyone would come in and ask him, is the Hechsher up to date? Is the cheese Chol of Yisrael? And one day I'm talking to him and I said, you know, I noticed your spices are outside the fridge and in the heat of the summer. And as far as I know, that brings bugs in a hot pizza factory. Don't you have bugs in your spices? So he said, yeah, how'd you know? I said, well, I know a little bit about kashrus, and I was told that in a hot environment of a bakery or a pizza shop, something like that, you have bugs. So he said to me, what do you think I should do? So I put him in touch with the Rabbanut, how to clean out his spices. And he said to me, it's so interesting. Guys come in here and drive me crazy about all kinds of shtuyot. You're the first guy to talk to me, about the biblical prohibition of eating bugs in pizza. Now, I'm not telling you not to be focused on doing it right. I'm telling you to be focused on doing the important things right. So, if you want to be a perfectionist, think about how a person's treating his fellow man, about Lashon Hara, biblical, you know. There are biblical mitzvot we could focus on. I'm talking about getting up on time for davening, saying Kriya Shema, being focused. There are so many biblical mitzvot that we're just putting on the side and focusing on the stringencies. It's ridiculous. How many people here have gone through the Chafetz Chaim Sefer HaMitzvot HaKatzal, where the Chafetz Chaim simply encompasses all of the mitzvot that are practical today? It's not a halachic work, but it at least shows us what's there. Because guys come to Machon Meir and they focus on details and they're still shaving with a razor. Not so good, right? Biblical prohibition, every day. And the same goes for other mitzvot. Guy who came to me, he was living outside the Machon, and he said, after eating shrimp, do I wait 3 hours or 6 hours? he was very serious. Now, you're all laughing, but let's call spade a spade. You guys are newcomers. You didn't grow up in a home where you saw all of this. So, how do you know you're not doing something like that? So that's why I don't think it's right. I think a person should try to perfect things slowly, but let's work with what's most important first. How many people are honoring Shabbos the way they should? Kvod Shabbos. Who over here lights Shabbos candles? Din drabanan, apinavim. You're not allowed to do it in your rooms. It's a hazard. You're not allowed to light Shabbos candles in your room. But what about the lunchroom? That's halacha. So you'll tell me, no, the Machon's lighting for me. Fine, but did you think about it? And I could give you other examples of real mitzvot, not stringencies. When you guys eat out, how many of you call your host on Friday and say, I'd like to participate in the Shabbos candles, how can I do that? Halacha, they have to be motzi you, that's where you're eating tonight. You should pay them a quarter or a 50 agurot or 20 agurot or whatever, or they'll give it to you as a gift, but you have to have an ownership in those candles. That's a halacha, that's not a chumrah. How many people do that? Halacha, not chumrah. And I could give you other examples like that. So I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm saying a person wants to be a perfectionist, fine. If he feels he's holding there, fine. But let's work from the ground up. Let's work with the real important things. You with me? You don't seem happy. Are you with me? Okay, so I'm saying, I think that you're right in trying to perfect, if that's your personality and you're up to it, but I would work on perfecting the real mitzvot, Oraita and Rabbanan first, and wait a long time before I take on all kinds of stringencies. Let's be realistic. Chazanish said it's okay to eat Chalav Akum. Rav Moshe Feinstein said it's okay. So who said there's such a good idea to eat Chol of Yisrael? No? I don't understand. And there were big rabbis who held that gelatin was kosher. So why is it such a big thing? Rav Ovadia Yosef holds it's kosher. You can't rely on his shoulders. I have to go with other opinions. There were big rabbis in Europe who held gelatin, after all the processing, is kosher. So today, politics got gelatin to be written in the Hechsher as... Kasher lo'chlei gelatin. It's kosher for those of you who actually eat gelatin. What can I do? You know, it's like all kinds of oils suddenly became kitniels on Pesach. I'm not so sure they were kitniels 20 years ago. I don't know. You have to know the stories behind what's going on. But I'm just saying, before we run for stringencies, let's work on the basics. There's so much basics that guys are missing, and every one of us, I think that comes first. And I think when a person exerts efforts on details that are unimportant, he's missing the real picture. Just a second. Zev's been waiting. We'll get there. Yeah.
He's flying out an airplane. But, yeah, Zev. I wanted to
say that
it's easy. It's one thing to say, okay, don't put too much pressure on yourself and be realistic. It's quite another one. You are, like, you're in an environment that's very, not just deed-oriented, but I would say downright competitive. When it comes to the limits, but everyone's, you know, talking about, oh, yeah, look, I got, you know, that's like the big one in the machona now. Or it could be, you know, I don't know, I've been going to Nate's for the last 2 months. Whatever it is, one of the things that makes it very difficult for a person to pace himself and I think to maintain his sense of his own space as far as his schedule, sense of pacing, I guess.